This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's time for Speak Legal, conversations with community law Otago.
And Nina Webb joins us again this morning for today's edition of Speak Legal. And today we're going to be looking at New Zealand's Bill of Rights Act. Morena, nice to have you with us, Nina.
Morena, thank you for having me.
Now, this is a pretty key piece of legislation, underpins a lot of what goes on here in terms of interpretation of the law. So perhaps we should start with the usual question. What is it? What is the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act?
Yeah, so the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act, or NZBORA, is one of Aotearoa's most important human rights laws. So it looks to set out the civil and political rights that everyone in New Zealand has. So this includes things like freedom of expression, the right to vote, and the right not to be tortured. But it doesn't create any new rights from scratch. Instead, it affirms rights that already exist in our common law and in international law. So the Act was passed to help make sure that the government respects these rights whenever it acts.
All right. Tell us a little bit more about why the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act was created.
Yeah, so back in the 1980s, there was growing concern that people's rights weren't well protected in New Zealand law. Some government actions like the Dawn Raids and wrongful arrests highlighted how easily our rights could be overlooked. The government introduced NZBORA in 1990 to affirm these rights already in the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, or the ICCPR, and to help prevent abuse of power from the state.
So what kinds of rights are protected?
Yes, so there's a number of rights that are protected, and they're all civil and political rights. So these include things like the right to life, the right not to be tortured, freedom of expression, freedom of religion and belief, freedom of peaceful assembly and association, electoral rights, protection from discrimination, and fair trial rights. So these rights mostly apply against the state. So this means they act as a check on what parliament, police, and public institutions can do. So they ensure individuals are treated with dignity, autonomy, and fairness in public life.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more about who has to follow the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, so NZBORA applies to all branches of government. So that's the executive, which is ministers and government, the judiciary, which is the courts, and parliament. It also applies to any person or body carrying out public functions. This can include schools, prisons, hospitals, and even some private companies that are contracted by the state. And Section 3 of the Act makes this really clear. This means that everyday interactions like school discipline, police searches, or even immigration decisions will all be subject to rights-based scrutiny.
And is it like supreme law? Can it override other laws?
Yeah, so this is where NZBORA is interesting for New Zealand. It's not supreme law, and this is one of NZBORA's biggest weaknesses. So unlike the US Constitution or Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms, NZBORA is not entrenched or supreme. That means Parliament can pass laws that breach NZBORA and courts must still apply it. This reflects the principle of parliamentary supremacy in New Zealand. However, courts can issue a declaration of inconsistency, as they did in the Taylor and Attorney General case when prisoners were banned from voting. While such declarations carry no direct legal force, they signal for a serious breach of rights. And it pressures Parliament to respond, although they legally don't have to.
Okay, so what if a new law breaches NZBORA?
Yeah, so there's a process. Every new bill introduced into Parliament must be vetted for NZBORA compliance. So the Ministry of Justice or Crown Law reviews the bill, and if there's a breach, the Attorney General reports it to the House of Representatives under Section 7 of the Act. This doesn't block the bill, though. It just flags the issue to MPs, and then they can decide if they want to amend it or ignore the warning. Over the years, several laws have been passed despite Section 7 reports. So this kind of raises concerns about how seriously rights are being taken in the lawmaking process.
Mm. Can rights be limited?
Yeah, so NZBORA rights are not absolute. Section 5 of the Act says that they can be limited, but only if the limits are reasonable and demonstrably justified in a free and democratic society. So this test comes from Canadian law, and it involves weighing up public interest against individual freedoms. And sometimes you need this in society. So an example of this may be freedom of movement. This can be limited during public health emergencies, as we saw with COVID-19. And another great example is freedom of expression, which might need to be limited by hate speech laws. So the court is constantly applying this balancing test to decide if the limits go too far.
So how does New Zealand Bill of Rights Act compare internationally?
Yeah, so compared to other countries, NZBORA is quite unusual since it's not part of a written constitution and it's not supreme law, and the courts can strike down inconsistent statutes. In contrast, Canada's charter allows court to override parliament. The UK Human Rights Act lets courts issue declarations of incompatibility and provides stronger remedies than they do in New Zealand. NZBORA is much more modest. It's more of a guiding principle than a weapon. However, its integration into government processes, especially legislative vetting, does help promote a culture of rights awareness across the public sector.
So what are the main criticisms of NZBORA?
Yeah, NZBORA's biggest criticism would be its lack of legal force and the ease with which rights can be overridden. So there's also no standalone human rights court in New Zealand. Most NZBORA claims have to go through general courts or the Human Rights Review Tribunal. Some also argue NZBORA fails to protect economic and social rights, like the right to housing or health, which normally take a back seat in New Zealand. And others say its remedies are weak, especially for vulnerable groups like prisoners or asylum seekers. And because the Act isn't entrenched, it can be ignored politically.
All right, any developments in this area? What's next for NZBORA?
Yeah, so there's a big growing discussion about whether NZBORA should be strengthened. Some legal scholars support entrenching its rights so they can't casually be overridden, and others want a full written constitution for Aotearoa. There are also calls to better integrate Te Tiriti o Waitangi and Tikanga Māori into human rights law. But whatever happens, the role of NZBORA will remain central to New Zealand's identity as democratic rights-respecting society.
Interesting discussion today, looking at New Zealand's Bill of Rights Act and its implications for the interpretation of other law as well. Great to catch up with you, Nina. Thanks so much for that. And we look forward to talking with Community Law Otago for Speak Legal at the same time next week.
Community Law Otago, free legal advice and support for the people of Otago. Advice clinic times are available from the website communitylawotago.com. We're based at 169 Princess Street. To make an appointment, call 03 474 1922. Community Law Otago, proud to bring you Speak Legal. Check out the podcast at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.